going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Back in on WWL, kicking off draft first take, a busy day of draft coverage, rounds 2 and 3. Saints have 3 picks. I'm Jeff Nowak. He's Charlie Long. This show is brought to you by TrainSouth.com. And we're going to go to the Oakwin Heart Jewelers talk and text line, bring in a friend of the program, Justin Mello of the Draft Network. A lot to talk about. Busy first day. You know, the transition from Friday to Saturday is always the brutal one for me. But how are you feeling, Justin? How did the first round treat you?
I'm feeling good. Yeah, I thought it was a fun round. You know, a little unpredictable. Kind of started right off the top, right? It was a little surprised that Cleveland traded out of the Travis Hunter pick. Though they did get great value in return for making that decision. Wasn't any, real stunners in the opening five, I'd say. But once you got down there, I thought New Orleans with Kelvin Banks, I thought was a bit of a surprise. Certainly Tyler Booker to the Cowboys, did not have that on my bingo card at 12. And then it even goes late, Tyreek Williams to Detroit, I thought was probably more of a second round pick. So definitely a fun round, lots of action and lots of unpredictability.
Yeah, you mentioned, the Browns trading out of the Travis Hunter spot. What did you think of the Jaguars trading in to the Travis Hunter spot, both in terms of how much they gave up and kind of like, I kind of see it as, hey, if I'm trading up, if I'm giving up that much for Travis Hunter, it's because I'm committed to playing him both ways. I think if the Browns took him, they might have had a decision to make of like, how much are we going to do this? When you're investing that much in a potential two-way star, you're going up to get the two-way star, right?
Yeah, they gave up a lot. There's no doubt about it. I think if you had looked at one of those old, over-fashioned trade charts, if you will, Jacksonville lost that trade by about 1,300 points. Now, if you're sitting at home and wondering what that means, that's the equivalent of the 8th overall pick. They essentially gave up, in terms of extra points, an extra 8th overall pick in the top 10. So they gave up a lot. There's no denying. I respect the aggressiveness. There are people out there. I talked to scouts throughout this process who think that Travis Hunter's a Hall of Famer. I think for Jacksonville, if he ends up being the kind of guy that they think he can be, they're not going to regret that move. Now, what is interesting is you talk about if you're going up and making that move, that he's a two-way guy. Well, they didn't necessarily say that in their press conference after taking him. They said that he'd start in the wide receiver room, and we'll get him in there to the DB room a little bit. But they certainly, they pumped the brakes a little on him being a full-time two-way guy. So I respect the aggressiveness from a 34-year-old first-year, first-time general manager in James Gladstone. Certainly, this is a decision that will be put under the microscope, for years to come. And it'll be interesting to see how it pays off.
Okay, Justin, I want to get your thoughts on the other two trades into the first round because they had very different value, in my opinion. The Falcons moving up to 26. They also get, pick 101, which is the third round pick this year. The Rams move back from 26. They move back 20 spots to 46. They get a 7th round pick and a 2026 first rounder. And then one pick prior, the Giants make that trade up to get Jackson Dart to 25 with the Texans, where they send the Texans 34, 99, a third-round pick, and a 2026 third-round pick. I know the jump from 34 to 25 is obviously pretty significant versus 46 to 26, but I mean, is it really, you know, with the Texans getting two third-round picks and then the Rams get a 2026 first-round pick, it just seemed kind of strange.
Yeah, Atlanta gave up a lot. You know, there's no denying. And it's funny, if you followed that team, and I mean, you guys are in the same division, if you'd followed that team over the last couple of years, they've really struggled to solve the pass rushing position, right? They've thrown money at it in free agency. They've gotten veterans. You know, they brought in Bud Dupree at one point. They made the trade for Matthew Judon. They have missed on a ton of drafted pass rushers. You know, but they were always half measures, right? They had the Penn State kid, Arnold Abitike, for a while, D'Angelo Malone. Like, they've just missed on mid-round rusher after mid-round rusher. They've missed in free agency. You know, they get Jalen Walker there, and then they decide to – like, their pass rush has been that bad in recent years. They had to double down. But this is a very, very risky move. Make no mistake about it. Not only what they gave up, but the prospect they came up to get, right? I don't know if you guys are familiar with, you know, Bob McGinn. He writes that piece every year on Go Long. It's terrific, where he talks to scouts about, you know, character concerns. One of them, you know, of course, anonymously said that James Pierce had some of the worst character he had ever seen in terms of some of the off-field stuff. Now, nothing, you know, nothing legal or anything like that, but just from an attitude and effort and personality standpoint. So he's got a lot of potential. He's a long guy. When he's on, he's on. But, you know, he was very inconsistent on tape as a run defender. In fact, to the point where they started taking him off the field altogether. And obvious rundowns, and I don't think the pass rushing production quite met expectations this year. So it's a massive roll of dice for Atlanta, and they gave up a ton to go get a guy that if they miss on, it's going to be.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
The big miss.
Justin, before we get into the second round and some of the prospects still on the board, I wanted to get your thoughts on the rest of the NFC South because, in my opinion, Carolina, you know, outside of, I guess, the top five trade with Jacksonville going up to get Travis Hunter, Carolina kind of made the first surprise of the night because, you know, throughout the entire pre-draft process, they were tied to Jalen Walker. They were tied to drafting a defensive player, maybe a defensive lineman with the eighth overall pick. And they go Tet McMillan from Arizona, the big body wide receiver, to kind of help their passing attack with Bryce Young and continue his growth. But then later on in the first round as well, another kind of surprising pick with Tampa Bay, you know, similar situation where they were tied to Jihad Campbell. They were tied to Donovan Azeroku, who didn't end up getting picked in the first round at all. Some different defensive players. And they go another wide receiver weapon with Emeka Ebuka from Ohio State. It was a little bit surprising for the NFC South with those two teams outside of what happened with Atlanta.
Yeah, I thought Carolina was a bit of a surprise. I didn't think it was a major one because anytime you got a quarterback that, you know, number one overall, you're still invested in and you're trying to figure out if he's the future or not, because obviously, you know, things haven't quite gone as swimmingly as you hoped they would. Though this past year, I think, you know, certainly showed more promise than we thought he was going to show after that disaster of a rookie year. When you have a chance to go out and get a big-bodied, you know, QB-friendly ex-boundary playmaker, if you will, I'm not shocked they pulled the trigger on that. Now, they were the worst pass rushing unit in the league, in my opinion, last year. So certainly it would have made, you know, some sense to go get a Jalen Walker, even a Michael Williams, you know, who went just a couple picks later to San Francisco. But they just couldn't resist the urge, you know, to kind of get Bryce Young some help. And they don't have a true X, right? I think they've got a slot guy and they've got a couple, you know, a couple Z receivers, I would argue, but not a real X type of guy. So they couldn't resist that temptation. Now, going over to Tampa Bay, I did think that was a bit of a surprise. Obviously, a best player available decision, in my opinion. Now, you know, you can never be too rich, I think, as most people would agree. But, you know, to go get him after re-signing Emeka Ebuka, that is, after re-signing Chris Godwin, it did surprise me a little. But Jason Litt up there, Jason was a smart general manager. I think he knows, you know, Godwin coming off that injury, even though they gave him what they gave him, Mike, and you pair Mike Evans in that, they're not going to be there forever, all right? They're not going to be there for much longer than they are now. So at some point, they're probably going to be very, very thankful that they made that pick. I don't know that it'll pay immediate dividends. I'm curious to see how they get all these guys on the field. So remember, they took Jalen McMillan last year. Was it second round? I think it was. So they've got quite a bit invested in that position. You can't play all four of them at the same time. Certainly you're going to have injuries. Guys are going to get banged up. And he'll probably have a rookie year impact. But, I do agree. I thought Jahad Campbell was a great fit for the Todd Bowles defense. I know, there was an injury flag before the draft. So that's potentially why he didn't go as early as I thought he might go. But certainly, Tampa certainly was the bigger surprise to me.
Yeah, so we've talked about all the other picks in the division but the Saints pick. So I do need to get your opinion on Kelvin Banks at number 9. You know, I saw some people say it was a bit of a reach. I think it's easy to forget, you go into this season and Kelvin Banks is probably the top offensive tackle prospect. Obviously, Will Campbell, these guys are up there. But, he's a big name that I think maybe got slept on a little bit throughout this process. What did you think of the Saints' decision to bring him in, and what do you think of the player?
I think my first thought was, and pardon me, I haven't seen if they've clarified this via, post-draft press conference, but my initial thought was, where are they going to play him, right? Because as we know, he played left tackle this year for Texas. There was talk throughout the pre-draft process that maybe he kicks inside to guard. But when I look at what they have there, you drafted Talese Fuaga last year in the first round. I never regret, over-investing in linemen, but you moved him from the right to the left, right? From Oregon State there on the right side. So what do you do now? Are you asking Kelvin Banks to learn the right side? Are you moving Fuaga back to the right side after asking him to make the transition last off season? Or are you just playing Kelvin Banks at guard, right? So that's the number one question I had as soon as they made the move. So that's very interesting. I wonder what they do with Fuaga and where they play Banks. Either way, you're making one of them uncomfortable in some sense, right? Or, Fuaga would probably have no issues going back to the right, but it seems kind of silly, right, after you ask him to be your left tackle. That was the first thing that struck me. The player itself, I liked him on tape. I thought we overcomplicated the situation a little bit. I thought he was a left tackle, personally. That was my opinion during the process. I didn't really agree with all the chatter of him kicking inside. I think he can do it, but I didn't think that he can't play tackle, right? So I do think he can play tackle. He's big. I think he moves well for his size. A little inconsistent on tape. Has to get a bit better with balance issues, pad level, things of that nature, but I thought they got a good, quality football player. I'm just curious what the plan is.
Justin, every single year players fall out of the first round that you kind of envisioned as being first round picks. And with the Saints picking at pick 40, they're not going to have to wait long into the second round for their second selection in this draft class. I wanted to get your thoughts on some of the top prospects still left available that you were surprised made it to this point, and if any of those guys could potentially fall to 40.
Yeah, the two that struck me, or maybe three, and we know why all three didn't get drafted in the first round. One of them is Mike Green, the edge rusher out of Marshall. There's an alleged, legal, off-field situation there that teams had questions about and obviously weren't comfortable with because I thought he was a top 15 player on tape. So for him not to go in the opening 32, there was obviously some, at best mixed feelings regarding the off-field situation. The one that really stunned me was Will Johnson, the corner out of Michigan. Now, I know he missed the majority of this past season with a shoulder injury, and then apparently a potentially chronic knee injury was flagged during the rechecks, the medical rechecks. So that explains that. But I thought on tape, I thought he's one of the six or seven best players in this draft. So those two are big ones. Luther Burden from Missouri is the other. Again, another guy similar to Mike Green, where, there's a character, alleged character concerns. It's not a legal situation like Mike Green's may have been, but there is certainly some effort and attitude questions regarding Burden's evaluation, and that's why he fell. I didn't even mention Shador Sanders, right? I think those three guys were the first, big surprises to me. I thought all three of them were first-round talents. There's a lot left on the board. You mentioned Donovan Azeraku is another one that I think is going to go really early. Where do these quarterbacks land? We've got three of them, right, that are potential, were being talked about as potential first-round picks. So there's a lot of talent left on the board. A lot of receivers, too. Jalen Noel, Jaden Higgins, Iowa State pair. Really curious to see how the chips fall.
Yeah, so I'm going to put you on the spot here. One more question. If you're picking at 33, if you're the Browns and you're like, hey, we're going to take a swing on one of these quarterbacks, who is it?
Yeah, I think mine would have been Shador Sanders, right? I would have had him ahead of Jalen Milroe or Tyler Shuck throughout this process. I think, and I've got concerns about Sanders. I think I said that the last time I was on here. There are things about his game that I don't love, and that's not even taking, you know, the off-field questions or the attitude stuff or his father, taking any of that into consideration. They're just aspects of his game I wasn't super comfortable with, but I am more comfortable with it than anything, you know, Jalen Milroe, who's, you know, probably got the highest upside of any of them. And if you hit, it's going to hit big. But the basement's really low on him too, right? Not an accurate passer right now. You know, in the 50% in terms of accuracy this past year. But if you hit again, you build that offense around him. He runs a 4.39. You see what the Eagles have done with Jalen Hurts, what the Ravens have done with Lamar Jackson. Though I'd argue both of them are better throwers of the football than he is. There's potential there, but with Shador, I'm just more comfortable with some of the traditional aspects of his game. I know he's very accurate. He reads the game at a high level, very good diagnosing pre-snap. And when he makes decisions, you know, that's his biggest issue. When he can make a decisive decision, he does so at a high level and he gets the ball out on time and he's accurate. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. But if I was Cleveland at 33, if they didn't trade out of the Travis Hunter pick, they would have had a chance to reunite Travis Hunter and Shador Sanders, right? That would have been interesting, but they decided not to go that route.
Just for fun, Justin, before we let you run, your favorite pick from day one of the draft?
Oh, boy, that is tough. Abdul Carter was my number one ranked player, you know, pre-draft. I kind of respect that the Giants didn't overthink the process, and they could have. You know, they got two edge rushers, two great ones under contract, rookie contracts at that. Or, sorry, one of them on the rookie contract, the other one they traded for and gave up a lot to get him and paid him handsomely. So they could have overcomplicated it. You got a GM and a head coach who are clearly on the hot seat. They needed to get a quarterback there. They need to get one. They come up and get Jackson Dart later, but they didn't. They fought that temptation at three. They took the best player. I think they got one who's going to be an outstanding football player, a Pro Bowl type rusher in Abdul Carter.
All right, great stuff as always, Justin Mello of the Draft Network. I know this is a busy week for you, so I appreciate you taking the time, and I know you do a lot of work going into this. So make sure to enjoy it, man.
Appreciate you guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Justin.